Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody tell me!
Welcome to Simple Facts of Life, where, well, I guess we're just sort of sitting around waiting to see what's in store for the future of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you from the proverbial bunker somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. And as always, if you'd like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Well, okay. Anything interesting happened since last we spoke? I don't know. Last week I just sort of didn't even want to talk about the election. I said a couple weeks ago I probably wouldn't even do a show last week because, you know, what's left to say. So I ended up showing up here and just talking about something that had, you know, one of my favorite stories from my time in the Navy. But it's been a week since we had our election, and I guess I kind of need to talk about it a little bit here. Well, you know, if you know where I am, you know the results weren't exactly what I might have hoped for, but, you know, we'll see how things shake out all over, you know, in the future, what's going on. But what we have seen, even though the results aren't official, as far as I know, not a single state has certified the election, which normally doesn't, you know, happen quickly in any event. But, you know, in some places the votes are last I heard, as of a few hours ago, some places were still counting votes. But the mainstream media was pretty quick to just, as soon as they possibly could, to call the election, say, declare that Joe Biden is now the president-elect. Now, President Trump, he doesn't quite seem to see it that way. He's not giving up. He hasn't conceded the election. He's got all these legal challenges going on. So is he going to get away with it, or is he going to pull it off? I don't know, but in my humble opinion, it doesn't look good. If I were betting, I would have to say that Biden is, in fact, going to be the next president. But, you know, it's not exactly over yet. But what I wanted to really talk about, I saw something that just had my mind kind of go nuts. And it just started out with, okay, they few days ago, Saturday morning, they finally decided Pennsylvania went to Biden. gave him enough electoral votes, and they called the election. Of course, I've since heard that Pennsylvania may be back in play. Some one or two of the outlets have kind of walked it back a little bit, but I don't know. Nonetheless, as soon as they possibly could, they called the election for Biden, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris got out and gave their speeches. Now, I actually happened to see that. Now, I had no particular, and I didn't know they were going to. I didn't, wasn't really paying that much attention to what was going on because I was just going to let it play out, see what happened, you know, and move on from there. No matter who's the president come next January 20th, you know, life is going to go on. But, well, the thing is, there was a football game on. The University of Oregon was playing Stanford, and so I turned it on to watch. But, oh, somewhere in the middle of the first quarter, they cut away for an hour because they wanted to cover the speeches. Oh, by the by, Oregon ended up winning the game in a pretty decisive manner. I don't know, Stanford may still be looking for some points in somebody's basement or something. I don't know. Maybe it hasn't been called. Nah, Oregon won. But here's the thing. I was watching this, and I would have preferred to be watching the football game because they cut away like over a half hour before the, you know, Senator Harris got up and gave her speech. And it was like they were just congratulating them. Okay, it's over and done with. And, you know, the only mention about President Trump was, I think I was George Stephanopoulos said something like, President Trump made some false statements about there being some issues with, you know, voter fraud. I mean, just totally matter of fact. He just said, you know, well, the president lied about it, but that's, you know, no matter. We can dismiss him. You know, over and done with. And all of the mainstream media has immediately started to just refer to Joe Biden as the president-elect. Now, it just got to thinking, you know, why the big rush? I mean, why did they have to have the celebration so soon? Because, I mean, we all remember, 20 years ago in the 2000 election, you know, it was close. Originally, they called it for Bush, and they maybe changed, called it. And it took like a full month to figure out how well hung Chad was. You know what I mean? We didn't know, but eventually they figured it out, and we all kind of patiently waited. Not this time. There are, I mean, they are rushing to make absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind that Joe Biden won the election. We've had our big celebration. Why? Why did they have to do it so soon? Well, I have this kind of bizarre theory. Yeah, bizarre theory here. Nah, you never hear that. Well, you know, okay. I like to, you know, give you something that you're not going to hear everywhere. You know, something, you know, since a lot of people are saying a lot of things, you might think that would be difficult, but it's really not that hard because, you see, unlike me, most of you are not crazy and don't have 17 voices screaming in your head all at once. So, yeah, the kind of things that I come up with, you're probably not going to hear other places. So here's what I'm going to talk about. Now, first off, this may sound like I'm going off on a totally wild tangent, has no bearing on anything else. Bear with me for just a few minutes, and I'm going to circle back and explain what's going on here. But as I sometimes like to do, I'm going to give a instance from history, relatively recent history, well, about 25 years ago, something that happened that I've used as a metaphor for a few other things from time to time. And I'm talking about the O.J. Simpson case. Huh? Yeah. What does that have to do with the election? Okay. I'll explain. But, you know, first off, just in case, you know, people don't remember, people hearing this may be a little young to remember, O.J. Simpson, he was a big star back in the 60s, 70s, football. He played college, became a star when he played his college football at the University of Southern California, won the Heisman Trophy, went on to the NFL, had a pretty successful career with the Buffalo Bills. He became the first man to run for more than 2,000 yards in a single season. Finished up his football career with a season or two with the 49ers. And then he had some moderate career in movies and television, and became, you know, ended up kind of as a sideline football commentator for NBC and pitch man for Hertz Rent-A-Car. That's who he was. Everybody loved him. Good-looking guy. Just he had everything. Everything until his ex-wife and a friend of hers were found stabbed at her house. And the events, the things that O.J. did, he became a suspect pretty quickly. And the way he behaved before his arrest kind of made him look guilty. So what happened? Big trial, lasted an entire year, charged with two counts of murder, his ex-wife Nicole and her friend Ron Goldman. Mountains of evidence. Trial just captivated the country like few things ever have. Went on for a full year, mountains of evidence, waiting to see what would happen. And finally, we thought we had a rest from it when both sides rested their case, and we were going to have to wait for the jury to sift through all these mountains of evidence. Well, it took them 3.5 hours to find that O.J. was not guilty of two counts of murder. Yeah, a lot of people were kind of stunned. I mean, putting up the expression on Fred Goldman, Fred Goldman, the father of Ron Goldman, the expression on his face when the verdicts were announced was, I mean, worth the whole thing. But, okay, not guilty. Now, what happened? Very shortly thereafter, there was Fred Goldman and Nicole's family sued O.J. Simpson for wrongful death, civil suit. Now, they could not, you know, due to double jeopardy, O.J. Simpson could never again be charged with those murders. But he could be sued for wrongful death. And in that trial, O.J. Simpson was found to be responsible for the deaths of those two people and had to pay up. Now, why is that? I mean, They were found stabbed to death, and O.J. was responsible. So, obviously he killed them. Why was he not convicted of murder, even though he was found to be legally responsible? Well, it has to do with the standard of proof. In a civil trial, the parties to the trial go into court with no presumptions, and the decision is rendered based on what is, I'm not a lawyer, but I know one or two things about one or two things, and the decision is rendered based on the standard of what does the preponderance of evidence tell us. That means one side presents their evidence, the other side presents their evidence. The jury, the judge, arbiter, whoever's adjudicating the case looks at it, decides what evidence is believable, what isn't, what the various weight of things are, and comes up with a decision based on the preponderance of evidence. If one side seems to be 51% and the other side seems to be 49%, the 51% wins. So in the civil case, it was found that, yeah, it looks like O.J. Simpson killed those people. But in a criminal trial, you have a different standard of evidence, because if you are charged with a crime, doesn't matter what your name is, if it's O.J. Simpson or Al Capone or Charles Manson or Timothy Meek, whatever. Whoever you are, if you're charged criminally, you walk into that courtroom with the presumption of innocence. It is up to the prosecutor to convince the jury beyond a reasonable doubt that you are guilty. That's the way it works. Now, why am I talking about all of this, O.J. Simpson and everything? Because look what happened in the election. It is under dispute. President Trump is contending that there was fraud, that, you know, the election might have not been legitimate. He believes that were it legitimate, he won. Now, you would think that in a dispute like this, it would kind of be treated as a civil case. We'll look at the evidence. Is there evidence of voter fraud? Well, of course, we know there is. We've seen plenty of it. But how much? Was it enough to maybe turn the election? I think normally we would think that we would look at the preponderance of evidence and the courts, or these, you know, the state officials, secretaries of state, whoever, would look at the evidence and make a determination based on the preponderance of evidence. No. Here's what we're seeing. It seems that the media, the Democratic Party, just to be a little bit redundant, perhaps. The media wants to have all of us, the jury in the court of public opinion, think that Joe Biden is walking into these proceedings with the presumption of victory. They are calling him the president-elect. He won. That's the starting point. They want to force anyone who is dealing in the court of public opinion. I'm talking about, you know, federal courts, state courts, secretaries of state, any county election officials, anybody like that. They want them to believe that they have the responsibility to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Joe Biden didn't win. If there is any doubt, then they want to, you know, even though everybody But most people believe that O.J. Simpson actually did kill those people. The civil court determined that he did. But the glove didn't fit. So the jury found reasonable doubt. That is the standard of proof that the Democrats seem to be wanting to put on the president, on the people who might determine that there was adequate voter fraud. We are presuming that Joe Biden won the election, that Joe Biden is the president-elect, and we need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that that's not the case. Now think about this. If the Democrats were really confident that they could make their case, why would they bother trying to get this presumption? They could just let it play out like it did in 2000. You know, the Republican, if you think back to 2 years ago in the Georgia gubernatorial election, Stacey Abrams, as far as I know, is yet to concede the election. She said she would accept it. Yeah, but the point is, she never conceded the election, but the Republicans just let it play out, and that's how it worked. Now, think about this. It seems to me that the Democrats and the leftists and the media and all that thing, they've been setting this up for months. I mean, you listen to what they've been saying. Trump will not accept the results. He'll have to be, we'll have to send in the army to drag him out of the White House. Yeah, you see, they seem to think, just from my casual observations, they are acting like they think they need to create the presumption of victory for Biden. They seem to think they need to make us peons get used to the idea that Biden is the next president. Now, sure, maybe he is. Like I said at the top of the show, I think he probably is. And so, you know, I have no problem if Joe Biden spends his time, you know, trying to put together his administration, working on a transition. I mean, that's what he should be doing. It's what he should have been doing, you know, for months. I mean, hey, I figure in 1984, you know, Walter Mondale is probably thinking about his administration after he defeated Reagan. Of course, that didn't quite work out that way. He lost 49 states. But nonetheless, I have no problem with, you know, Joe Biden talking about what he's going to do, trying to figure out who's going to, you know, he needs to be doing that. But simple fact of life is there is no president-elect. I mean, technically, we never have a president-elect until January, after the elections have been certified, after the Electoral College casts their votes and transmits them to Washington, and, you know, until the vice president opens the ballots, counts them, and declares a winner of the election. At that point and that point only do we have a president-elect. So what's going to happen? I don't know. But, you know, I also had, you know, just to take a little journey into crazy town here, which, or to stay in crazy town, I guess, I thought of there's another possible way, and it's even weirder, that possibly President Trump could pull this off, because you remember, just a couple weeks ago, the big story, you know, what everyone, at least on the conservative side, was talking about, and the liberal side was trying to pretend did not exist. Remember Hunter Biden's laptop, the emails, Tony Bobulinski, however you say his name. Remember all that? Now, I mean, granted, if you're a leftist, you probably don't remember that. The name Tony Bobulinski doesn't ring any bell with you if you only follow the mainstream media, because his name was never mentioned by any of them. But I saw his interview with Tucker Carlson. It made sense. Now, whether what was on the emails were true or not, nobody can say. But it has been verified that the emails he had were sent to him from the places he said they were. His story, why he came out when he did, why he didn't come out earlier, all made perfect sense. It all fit. So, what happens if maybe somebody pushes this out? I don't know what happened to that story. It just for a couple days and then disappeared. But if, Tucker Carlson or somebody can get that story out and make people actually believe, pay attention to it, maybe some of the Joe Biden's electors might look at this. Because Tony said, and he presented the evidence, he thought that Joe Biden was compromised by the Chinese government. Maybe the electors might look at that and just say, because the electors are people. And they say, well, I can't vote for this guy. Now, some states require that he does, but there are plenty of states that don't necessarily require the elector to vote for who they are. Most electors will, because, being a party hack is how you get chosen to be an elector. But if they don't have to vote for Trump, they could vote for, just decide they can't vote for Biden, so they can vote for Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, vote for, Joe Blow. Doesn't matter. If that happens and Joe Biden does not get the 270 electoral votes, then it goes to the backup system, which is Congress. The House of Representatives decides who the next president is. And the way it's set up, that would be Trump. But it would make a really interesting case, because in my last article I wrote on my blog, I talked about a similar situation. It could happen that if that would end up with Donald Trump again being president, but the vice president might be Kamala Harris. Wouldn't that be fun? Could happen. The electors vote for president and vice president separately. So, of course, if that were the case, of course, Kamala would just be sent off to sit in a corner for 4 years. But, okay, I have, pretty much run out of time. So, I've got to say hi to Tim Tapp, who's joining me. He will be coming on. I saw that you had Annie was supposed to be scheduled to join you today, Annie Ubellis from Southern Sense. So that's coming on in half hour from right now. And in the meantime, I'm out of here. Thank you.